This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. The weather's cooling down, and with it, the threat of eastern equine encephalitis diminishes as mosquitoes die off. The virus, which is carried by equines, is rarely transmitted to humans by the bite of a mosquito holding some of that infected blood. It can cause a brutal illness with a high mortality rate. The state of Michigan pays millions of dollars to spray for mosquitoes in areas that might be susceptible to the spread of the disease. But did you know that a vaccine already exists for Triple E? Thing is, it's for horses. Not everyone gets their horse vaccinated. Dr. Elizabeth Carr is a professor at Michigan State University in the College of Veterinary Medicine, and she joins us now. Betsy Carr, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us how Triple E reacts in horses and deer when they get sick.
So the virus is transmitted by a mosquito that feeds off of the horse, and it enters the bloodstream and then is taken up by or enters various cells, some of which are obviously in the central nervous system, neurons, and in the cells that or the cells that are infected with it are essentially destroyed. So it causes a lot of cellular death and then inflammation associated with that, which results in the neurologic signs that you see in the infected animal.
Can you remind us how quickly this can manifest in animals that are infected?
So the incubation period after a mosquito bites you and transmits it can be anywhere from a couple days to probably up to 21 days. Probably typically it's somewhere in the middle of that, so usually a week or two. The first signs, which are often missed, might just be a fever without any signs of neurologic problems. But as the animal develops neurologic disease, that's usually when the owner or client detects it.
How do neurological disorders manifest? I mean, we know that this is something that attacks the brain, but can you share the mechanism through which it works?
So Triple E in particular affects the cerebrum and the brainstem. So whereas many other diseases might affect the spinal cord or peripheral nerves. So in horses, at least, we tend to see signs of cerebral dysfunction or brainstem dysfunction. So there'll be a lot of people use the term sleeping sickness in horses because they look asleep standing up. They might be head pressing. They may be blind. They're often very ataxic, as if they've had a bit too much to drink. And it usually progresses over time. Unfortunately, in horses, it's a very high mortality rate. About 90% of infected horses will ultimately die.
If the virus cannot be spread amongst horses, amongst each other, and if a human can't be infected by being around a horse, can you explain the mechanism by which the mosquitoes get infected in the first place?
Yeah, so the natural life cycle of Triple E is between birds and mosquitoes. So the virus persists in birds that, when they get infected by a mosquito, develop a viremia, and then another mosquito feeds on them, and the cycle continues. So what happens is, as that viremia spreads throughout the population, so let's say April or May, when we have mosquitoes and birds, we have Triple E in Michigan. It's just not being seen in humans or horses. What happens is there's an amplification between birds and mosquitoes such that more and more birds and mosquitoes are infected. And then it requires a specific mosquito to feed on an infected bird and then subsequently feed on a horse or a human to spread it. So because it requires this amplification in the natural cycle, we don't typically see it in horses and humans until later in the year, like August, September.
Now, the state says that as of September 27th, a couple days ago, Triple E has been confirmed in 35 animals in 14 counties, 14 equine cases, to deer, and I believe at this point we have one confirmed human case in Barry County. How bad a year do you think we'll remember 2020 as being for Triple E?
I would say it's kind of, I guess, from an equine perspective, a medium year. We have had a couple of years since I've lived in Michigan, which is over 20 years, where we've had a couple hundred cases of horses affected. So while people were concerned because the number of cases were increasing more rapidly than typical, it does seem like now with the colder weather, we may not have as bad of an outbreak.
Here's hoping. Lord knows this has been quite the year for infectious disease in other regards.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, there is a vaccine for Triple E, but it's for equines. How effective is it?
It is actually very effective. So, and it is considered one of the core vaccines, which means the American Association of Equine Practitioners recommends that all horses get vaccinated for triple E, depending on where you live, once or twice a year. And it is highly protective. One point is that actually the horse is not a risk of infection to another animal or human. They don't actually get a significant enough viremia or virus in the blood to actually be transmitted to another mosquito. So it's really a human getting or a horse getting bitten by an infected mosquito that typically causes the actual onset of disease.
Horse ownership is a little bit different than taking care of a domesticated pet. I mean, a horse is livestock, and owning and maintaining a horse often is, you know, just seen a little bit differently by horse owners. Do you know if most horse owners in Michigan vaccinate their animals?
I don't think we have exact data. I would say certainly any horse owner that would have routine veterinary care probably gets their horses vaccinated because it would be strongly encouraged. And it's a relatively inexpensive and highly effective vaccine. But as in other years, in I believe it was 2006, but it might not, where we had a severe outbreak of a couple of hundred horses, every horse that was infected was not vaccinated. So clearly the vaccine is very important in preventing the disease.
Right. Well, the state mandates that dogs and cats be vaccinated against rabies. Should it be required that horse owners vaccinate against triple E?
It's a good question. The reason that we mandate that we have to vaccinate against rabies is because a dog or a cat that's infected with rabies could transmit it to a human by a bite, whereas a horse infected with triple E cannot transmit it to a human. A horse infected with triple E in your area simply tells you that triple E is in your area and you should practice appropriate prevention of, you know, mosquito control. So probably realistically, we will not mandate that horses be vaccinated for triple E because it's not actually a direct risk to the human.
I know that you're an expert in how horses react to this disease, not humans, but I did want to ask you a little bit about the fact that we do have a horse vaccine for triple E, but there's not one for humans. Obviously, developing vaccines is costly and time-consuming. But is there a reason why the vaccine that we use for horses doesn't translate to a vaccine for human use?
So I do know that there has been some work looking at potential vaccines for humans. I can't speak to why a vaccine, there's a lot of factors, I guess, that go into why a drug company would make a vaccine. It does tend to be fairly expensive, the research involved in developing a vaccine. So at least with respect to veterinary vaccines, the vaccines that are developed are usually ones that either have the disease has a very high mortality rate, has a risk to spreading to, let's say to humans like rabies, or the likelihood that they will be able to produce and sell large numbers of vaccines, making it potentially more lucrative that they actually develop the vaccine. With respect to triple E, I don't know, certainly in the US, that that's the case. It's not, when you think about other diseases, it's not a very common disease. However, it can still be fatal. So I can't really speak to why a drug company hasn't developed a vaccine. I do know that there are some, if you go and do a literature search, there are experimental vaccines that have been made that show some efficacy that are made to potentially be useful in humans. So,
needless to say, a lot of the pharmaceutical world has been consumed with trying to work on a solution to COVID. So maybe it's not that hard to understand at this moment.
Yeah, a lot more people are going to die from COVID than will die from triple E this year.
Is there much of a difference between, you know, a biological systems in horses and humans to explain why you can't just inject yourself with a horse vaccine? Beyond the dosage issues, I suppose.
So the vaccine is actually a fairly old vaccine in that it's basically a killed virus that has an adjuvant which stimulates your immune response. I would be concerned about potential side effects of a human taking that vaccine, and as well as, you know, based on the type of vaccine it is, as well as the fact that the dose is for a horse, not for a human. Yeah.
Right. I wanted to ask, this has to be a very difficult diagnosis for a horse owner to hear. If you see a patient that is testing positive for triple E, is there anything that you can do for the horse?
So we certainly do supportive care. So try to decrease the inflammation, try to support them so they don't injure themselves with their neurologic disease. And probably about 10% of horses could potentially survive, but many of those horses will continue to have permanent deficits. So they may have dysfunction. And so that also makes it difficult to have a horse out in a pasture that let's say can't see or can't walk normally because it's such a large animal and they cannot spend their life in recumbency. It often ends up that the animal, even if it survives, may end up being humanely euthanized. So generally, though, there is no definitive treatment for the virus. It's essentially supportive care to try to decrease the symptoms and the pathology that the virus causes.
Is there anything else that you think public health officials should be doing to try to encourage people to get their horses vaccinated for this?
I think it's about communication and, as far as let's say in the veterinary community, the equine veterinary community, we do a lot of work trying to educate people on the risks of diseases like triple E and rabies. People tend to think it's very uncommon for horses, and so they don't want to vaccinate. Yet both of those diseases are fatal. And, if your horse is the unlucky one, most clients regret that they never vaccinated. So I think it's really about educating so that people understand the risks and the efficacy of the vaccine probably are the best things that can be done.
Dr. Elizabeth Carr is professor at Michigan State's College of Veterinary Medicine. Well, we want to thank you so much for talking to us about this.
You're welcome.